Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The texts that we have before us tonight remind us that everything we have from our triune God. In the Old Testament lesson, especially, we find the record of the tithe, that commanded, divinely commanded, instituted tenth of everything, the first fruits of the harvest, of the reward of their labors for that year. The book of Deuteronomy is a great reminder book of what God had done for the Israelites and how God was ordering their family lives, their life in the state, and their life in the church. It was the second telling of the law, because repetition is the mother of all learning, and even God's word exhibits this fact in this very book. God had every aspect of their temporal and eternal life in mind. The result, then, was what you read about in chapter 26. The joyous retelling of the great works of God for Israel, as they also then gave a portion of what God had given them for the care of the priests who spent their days studying, teaching, and conducting worship for the good of the whole people. They recount the great works of God toward them. They recount the promises of God, those things which God spoke to their fathers, those things which God spoke concerning them. And then they tell the great works of God in taking Abraham and turning him into a great nation from nothing, and then delivering that great nation from their servitude, their slavery to the Egyptians. These temporal things that they sing praise about were only a start of the work that the Lord their God would undertake for them. That, in fact, is the most beautiful phrase of all of us that repeats over and over: the Lord your God. He was their God, not by blood, but by faith, or by trust in the promises, the word of that same God. And their worship of the Lord their God was done by faith in both word and in deed. We have the same God. He is the Lord our God. And when we think of that the Lord is our God, it should immediately remind us of Christ, who purchased us and made us his own. What would our story be if we told it? It would be obviously more than from Abraham to the Exodus. If we were to recount all the earthly great things that our God has done for us, what would it sound like? It would sound something like, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, our God. For he knit me together in my mother's womb, gave me body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil." There is no shortage of earthly blessings that God has bestowed upon us from the very beginning of our lives, is there? But yet this is not the end of our confession, of our great praise of our God. It's not the end of the Lord your God's work for you and for your benefit. In fact, the earthly blessings that we have, they are the smallest things, the least things that God has done for us. For you are not only a creature made by God, you are also a child of Adam, and in Adam all die. So the Lord your God has done great things for you. He has indeed redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I and you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting innocence, righteousness, and blessedness. And this isn't it either. This is not the end of what God has done for us. For the work of Jesus, the Son of God, has been done for you. And we can confess the great work of God for us by saying then that even in the present, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. That's all of us. And he keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, still to this day. And in this Christian church, he daily and he richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Yeah, that's the Small Catechism. The Small Catechism's explanation of the Creed does a great job of giving us a song to sing, a praise to what our God has done for us, both in this life and for the life to come. It gives us great joy in all that God has done for us to recount his glorious deeds towards the sons of men. And from that joy, we can give back of what God has first given to us in the good work of our offerings and our tithes. That we can have joy because God has done this for us, because that is exactly who our God is. That we might say it like this, like the Small Catechism does: all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. And then for all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. You know, it's not original. It's not my personal words. But neither were the words of the Israelites when they brought their gifts to honor their God who had given them the land that they had entered into. May it be so for you tonight and every single week when God brings you to be blessed for both this life and the life yet to come through his church. In the name of Jesus, amen.